Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Ages of Rock podcast. I'm Dennis Talbot. I'm here with Alan Tate and Bill Algie. We have not a special guest. He is going to be a co-host today, and it's the one and only Joe Polo, and he is from
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, guys?
All right. But Joe's been a friend of ours for a few years now. He's a fellow podcaster and just an all-around good guy. We've hung with him at some of these conventions and had a few beers and some food, and, you know, we've hung.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, so he wanted to come on tonight, or we wanted to have him on, and we're just going to talk some few different topics, talk about some latest news we've heard, and a little, maybe even do a little bitching and some moaning. Who knows?
No, but on this show.
Oh yeah,
and it's not Ticketmaster.
No, it's not. Ticketmaster hasn't pissed me off this week.
To hell with Ticketmaster.
That's right.
We all know what Ticketmaster is all about.
Joe, you look pretty chill there, man. You're like, for those of you that can't see, that are listening to this, you're missing it, because Joe is about 3 feet from being completely horizontal.
I am in. Like, okay, so I am in my my lazy boy that's in my Kiss lair, and I'm just. It's so big and wide that I could, like, sit sideways on it. And I'm big and wide, so I have to. Anyway. Yeah, so I look very
Aaron
comfortable.
Aaron is not watching this episode. Keep talking. She's not watching.
She'll watch. She'll be like, I love those boys.
I told Joe earlier, he looks like he needs to be, like, dangling grapes down and taking them in as he's talking. There, because he's all.
I wish I had some grapes. Now you're making me hungry.
But anyway, if you have not checked out Joe's show, he does it with Jody Habnot, and Sonny Pooney is on there too, isn't it?
Yep.
Every week. So then they do. What day is your show come out? The new one.
Every Monday when we get around to it.
But then you also do a live one too. Also on, was it Wednesday nights or?
Yeah, Wednesday nights. I started years and years ago. I said, man, doing podcasting is fun, but I bet it would be awesome to do a live radio show. So I found this program called Mixlr, MIXLR, I think is what it was. And basically, you sign up and they give you your own online radio station. So. I went ahead and I signed up and I started doing radio and I was playing music, and somebody finally sent me a letter and said, you probably shouldn't be playing music. It was all Kiss.
Right.
So then I looked into, getting a license so I could play music. And then when I found out that you can only do certain amount of songs, it was, you guys know how it works. It's like a big, big scam.
The very first radio station that I ran, I called it Ace Frehley Radio, and it was nothing but the 78 solo album, Ace's songs on Kiss, and, you know, the Frehley's Comet stuff. Live 365 shut me down, like, in 2 days.
Really?
Yeah. And that's when I switched it over to the Hairs to the 80 format.
Yeah, so basically I talked to the people that sell the licenses, and they said, just call a radio station, they've got plenty of space. And then one of our listeners had a radio station, and they said, we'd love to have you guys on. So I did it for about 2 years, and now Brent does it with D-Rock and Sonny, and I kind of passed it on so I could I just do so much, I never stop. So
exactly. Well, awesome. Well, so what have we heard this week? What's the big news this week? Have I heard any good news going on? Or
today I did see that somebody posted. Apparently, Paul Stanley is supposed to be doing some signings
for his book,
and really? somebody posted a letter that said he wasn't able to do it. So I'm not sure what has happened. I hope everything's okay, you know, family-wise or whatever, but that was one of the things I saw. And then I, of course, you know, Vinny Vincent.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
That's the thing. So, you know, it's up for, as far as Kiss stuff goes, there's so much happening just right. Because they're on the road, but it's mostly check out this show, look at these videos, listen to how great they sound, move on.
Joe, how many shows have you watched? I mean, how many shows have you seen so far?
Four.
Four? Okay.
Where did you go?
Las Vegas, New York, Atlanta, Birmingham.
Oh, so you went to the last show then? You went to the last show on the leg?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was it?
It was very good.
Good.
The only problem is they did have a problem though. The cherry picker swung around but didn't get all the way to the stage, so.
Oh,
Gene
shit.
And Tommy couldn't get on him.
Oh.
So they swung back around. It was messed up too because Karen and I brought her brother's girlfriend, who's a huge Gene Simmons fan, right? And while we're sitting there, the cherry picker's like right above us. And for like the whole time before the show is going on, I'm going, look, Jennifer, he's going to be right there. No, he never made it.
Damn it.
I was like so bad. And then now you guys know that little bluesy lick jam thing that Tommy and him, they did it like extra long.
I heard that.
And at the end, it's like Paul said something to the effect of, well, sometimes fun doesn't always come through to everybody. It's funny. But I'll tell you what, though. Gene, when he was playing a little bass line, I stopped and I said, I'm pretty sure he's playing Torpedo Girl. And he was playing the Torpedo Girl bass line. Boop, 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 boop. I was like, that's pretty cool.
I'd heard that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And then so I saw the painter three times now.
Oh, geez.
I got to be honest, I kind of like it. But in Alabama, and I'm sorry for all you Roll Tiders out there, but they played Sweet Home Alabama while he was doing a thing, you know?
Right.
And I forget that I'm not in Atlanta, if that makes sense, because Atlanta is where I live. So the Sweet Home Alabama is playing, and so the chorus comes out, Sweet Home Alabama, and the whole freaking place goes, Roll Tide, Roll. And I literally had vomit come right up to here, where I was like, holy crap, I forgot where I was. And they did it every chorus. So my son's mom, otherwise known as my ex-wife, is a big Auburn fan. So, of course, I taped it and sent it to her.
Like a good ex-husband should.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I did see the date. Go ahead.
I saw the show in Jacksonville, which was the night before the Birmingham show. And the cherry pickers worked there. They had no issues. So,
well, that's awesome.
I think they've worked every show. That's kind of weird that they waited to the last show of the leg to finally break down. Because, you know, that show is an extremely technical show with all those, how much stuff's going on and everything. And really, there's not been, that's the only time that I've heard that something's really messed up royally, you know.
Right, yeah. I've been thoroughly pleased and enjoyed every show. I can honestly say that Vegas was amazing because it was the first show I got to see. New York, being in Madison Square Garden, was epic. But Atlanta, the crowd blew them all away. Right. Just like the crowd was there. And I would have been – I really didn't want it to be that way. I really wanted it to be Madison Square Garden was off the chain. And it was, but I just can't.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, I did see. I missed the New York show by 3 days.
Yeah,
I was there 3 days later.
We heard that before.
Dang.
That's a well-known fact in the Bill world.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I did see, though, Joey Kramer. Did you see that about Aerosmith today or last night?
No.
They're starting their, Aerosmith started their residency out in Vegas. And I think they were on their eighth show, and Joey Kramer didn't play last night. The drummer, they had his tech playing. And there's some ramblings on that maybe him and Tyler got into it the night before on stage about something.
Was the tech's name Ed Cannon?
I was just getting ready to say that.
They mentioned his name, but I wasn't for sure. I don't know who. I know it's not Ed, though. But because they've had some squabbles before because, you know, of course, Tyler being a drummer, you know, he's kind of like what Dave Grohl is with his drummers before, with his the older drummers where he was, you know, he basically wanted, you're going to play it this way because I'm a drummer and I know better. And they say that Tyler does that to Joey quite a bit. I guess somehow they got into it. Buddy of mine went and seen the first show. Actually, you take that back. It was the second show of this run. And he just got back from Vegas and said it was not really, the sound wasn't really clear. So they were having a lot of sound issues. And I'm like going, you know, they got that. That's in a situation where it's in the same room every night. It's a residency. You know, they worked on that shit for a week beforehand to get it down. Why are you having fucking sound issues? That don't make any sense. You know, something's weird on that. But anyway.
Well, that whole thing's been kind of marred with speculation about, can Steve Perry still play? Steve Perry. I didn't
mean Perry. Steve Perry. Sure, then go.
Can Steve Perry still sing?
Well, that's Steve Perry can't play worth a shit. No. But anyway, he can sing.
If you're a Joe musician and your last name is Perry, you're out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Can Joe Perry still play? I mean, there's been a lot of speculation about that. And there's been a lot of speculation. I've read a couple things about, you know, just Steven Tyler's just attitude and kind of stuff. So I, you know, that there's, but you know, you're reading stuff you don't know, but I read more stuff really about that being some kind of an issue of some type. So the fact that there was some issue like that that you're describing doesn't surprise me a whole lot.
Their next show is supposedly Friday night, so we'll see if Joey's back on the kit or if they got their got a replacement there. Who knows? So
yeah.
You know, it's just kind of crazy.
But speaking of Steve Perry, though, I mentioned that. Did you have you guys watched the big interview? You guys ever seen the big interview with Dan Rather? So I watched the last night was the Paul Stanley interview, and right. I have a streaming version of XS TV, but it's a day or two late, so I won't get to watch that for a couple of days. But I did watch the Steve Perry one a couple of days ago.
Right.
That was, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago or whatever. It was really good. And I didn't realize either. Dan Rather is like 89 years old or something.
He's old.
He is like older than dirt. And but it was a really good interview, and he really asked him some pretty tough questions.
The only one I've ever seen with the Dan Rather is the Gene Simmons one that came out
that's on YouTube
year.
Now. So I'm gonna watch
it. It's on YouTube. So they'll all hit YouTube at some point.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Paul Stanley one.
Somebody had posted the was live streaming the Paul Stanley one on Kiss Army, and I on Facebook, and I watched a little bit of it, but person was doing it holding it, and so it was jumping around a little bit, and I was afraid I was going to throw up. So
from the motion, I didn't get to see it myself because I don't have Access TV, so I cut the cable a while ago, and I have a PS View. I have PS View, but they don't have Access TV in it. So I have to figure out a way to see it because I have a feeling it's going to come up on my show this weekend.
Yeah, it'll
probably. I'm sure it'll be posted on YouTube. Somebody's already probably got it recorded and stuck up there. I haven't had a chance to go look for it yet. But if it was kind of like the, and I've seen excerpts of it, you know, here and there where they showed some previews and stuff, and it looked pretty good. I mean, it's probably a typical Paul Stanley interview. I can't imagine there's any kind of big.
I wouldn't think there's going to be any earth-shattering information coming out of that. It's going to be the same, right?
Yeah, and I'm not a huge Dan Rather fan myself, so I'm not really sure if he, God, it's like, how you get an 89-year-old guy to interview Paul Stanley and Steve Perry? It's like, should be a fan.
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, except for their, except for much like what we're going to talk about in a minute, which is the Vinnie Vincent interview.
Right.
You know, maybe Dan Rather was safe.
He's safe.
So, yeah. That's good, what I was thinking.
Actually, the Steve Perry thing, he asked him, he said, you know, you haven't really talked about this, but you've mentioned in other things that you had, you know, at some point in your life, you had a violation, and he really pushed him on it a couple of times and said, was that a family member? And, you know, that was around the age of 10. And so he was really kind of trying to paint this picture. And Steve Perry was, I mean, very polite, but was just not going there. He just said, you know, that was something that happened. I was around the age of 10 and it wasn't a direct family member. And, you know, that's really all I got to say. And it was pretty cut and dry. Wow. There wasn't a lot of stuff.
I didn't know anything about that.
He did say he has a daughter and he has grandkids. And I mean, I've never have, you know, Steve Perry's one of those guys that when he walked away, he like walked away. I mean, it was like,
kind of Vinnie Vincent kind of.
The difference being, Steve Perry could afford to walk away. Vinnie Vincent really couldn't.
Right, exactly.
And really, and Vinnie Vincent can't afford to be the jackass he's being now. So,
but you know, that's somebody. If you want to talk about somebody like that, I mean, look at Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson left the Tonight Show, and never did another thing afterwards. And you know, David Letterman, for that fact, look at him.
Well, David Letterman has a Netflix show.
Yeah, he has a regular Netflix show. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know
that. He's had it for a couple of years. Yeah.
I'm going to say, but there for a while after he quit, you know, he grew that long beard, and he was actually showing up here. He was showing up here in Indiana. He was up at Milltown taking a canoe trip. They were like pictures of people like, oh, look at the David Letterman, you know. But, I mean, for a guy who's on TV every night like that, though, that's kind of odd. You know, that's just a different whole thing. So, I know it's getting me all stuck.
I guess eventually you just want to be out of the
picture
for a little while.
Yeah. You got to regroup. And so I got a question for you, Joe. What are your thoughts about the, so what do you think, a question about two things: one, Paul Stanley's vocals, and two, how are they doing this tour? You know, they did a leg in the US, a leg in Europe, leg in the US, leg in Australia. What just thoughts?
Well, okay, so in my personal view, I'm not sure so much on the last two shows that I saw, but I did feel like Paul Stanley was being propped up a little bit vocally. I don't think that he was lip syncing. But I think that he was definitely being held up, maybe a little technology or whatever. And for me, I don't care. I'm like, when I go see Britney Spears, I know she ain't singing, and I'm happy fine with that. Just let me watch.
Well, yeah, but that's a totally different discussion.
I let y'all in on something when it comes to me. But anyway, I don't know. I've said it before. I want my final memories of Paul Stanley sounding as good as he possibly can. And I really felt like it was tasteful how they did it. They did not try to trick me and put on some recording from Paul in 1977.
Right.
You know, it was not that. If he was lip syncing, I'm fooled, because I was close. I had fifth row for Las Vegas. That was on accident. And I stood right there. I watched Paul sing. There's no lip syncing. I didn't, and all the guys that from the show that were there, we all felt the same way. We felt like it was some kind of technology going on, but nothing like full on lip syncing.
Right.
And then when it comes to the show and how the tour is going, I don't know. It seems like they're going to do. They did here. Now they're going overseas, and they're going to come back. Then they're going to go where? Australia next? After that?
Yeah, I think so.
And then
yeah.
What's after that? The cruise?
No, the cruise is
starts on October the 29th.
And then after the cruise, they go to Australia.
Are you going
to
be on the cruise, Joe?
No.
Damn it! Now my trip is ruined.
Oh. Well, let me ask you this. Who's going with you?
I'm going by myself.
You're going by yourself?
Well, I have a bunch of friends that are going to be on the cruise. You know, I found some...
Interior room?
Uh-huh. I have roommates.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. One of the Facebook groups had a place where you could search for cabin mates or whatever. I found a couple of cabin mates, so it's not too terribly expensive.
Yeah, it's not. And you're never in your room anyway.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I'm not going to be there because I decided to do Madison Square Garden in Las Vegas instead, since I'd never been to Madison Square Garden. And this, I believe, was my last chance. So, because I hear once they play there, wherever they're playing, they're done. They're not going back. So I don't know what's going to happen with the last show.
Right.
If it's at Madison Square Garden, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, because they played the Forum too, right? They played the Forum in L.A. Or did they play the Honda Center?
I thought it was the Forum.
So yeah. But if you're they have.
What about there are other venues in New York? I'm sure.
Yeah, well, there's the Barclays Center, which is in New York City, which they didn't play there.
Right.
Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I mean
But we talked about it.
They're going to play Barclays, though.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, like we've talked, you know, they missed St. Louis completely. You know, there's so many towns that they, you know, of course, they haven't hit Evansville since for a long time. So they'll be hitting some other places coming back through. Wonder when they're going to announce that next.
Yeah.
The newer dates. I wonder how long it'll be before they start announcing those dates. Because, you know, they know where they'll be. But be interesting.
All I know is I'm super happy that they sold out the majority of them. You know, I'm really happy. They seem happy on stage. Paul's interactions with Gene have made it at least, because, you know, you hear rumors about them not getting along or whatever, but I can't tell. They look like they're having fun.
Yeah, unlike other bands. Like when you go see Motley Crue, you know those guys do not get along.
Right.
There is no interaction. It is. Yeah. No, it was... I agree with you. I've not seen that either. I think that it looks. I've been to two shows. Yeah, two shows so far. And both shows I saw, it was great. And I have tickets for another show in Indianapolis yet. So.
Yeah, we're going to
see.
Yeah,
we're all going to the Indy.
I'm excited about. I'm coming up there, so I'm excited.
Woo!
Yeah, cool.
We'll coming up to the
Indy Expo.
Expo.
Yeah. Having a table? Or are you just going to be cruising?
Sir. Yes, sir. I will have a table.
Okay.
I think right now it's just Sonny and I, but I am excited. I hung out with you guys there last year.
Yeah, we're not going to be there this year, unfortunately.
I may come up for one day, but I'm not.
Yeah,
we're not doing a. I just didn't see. I just didn't see enough draw to spin. But it's okay, man. I hope that people come. I'm glad you're going, man. I'm glad you're going to represent. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna. One of the things. I'm gonna be 49 this year. When I tell people this story, they're like, "For real?" But I've never gotten a car and driven anywhere by myself. So I decided this year I'm going to drive to Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, that won't be bad.
It's not too bad. It's like 8 or 9 hours. I was like, that's what I want to do, because that would give me some more life experience. I like doing – you guys know it. I'm always doing something. I like living my life, and I just want to try something else. Karen's like, because when I get in a car, I can drive for like 3 hours, and then I get sleepy. So she's like, you know, you're going to have to –
stop every 3 hours for
take a nap.
Get a hotel and take a nap.
Well, if you time it right, you'll be coming right by my house. You can, I mean, I live right off the highway, like I'm like 3 miles. So,
well, dang easy, it, that's easy. What I'm gonna have to do.
Yeah,
there you go.
But then it's only an hour to Indy.
See, now I just have to figure out what time to leave to come by your house, pull in for dinner, and then
there you go. I'll do it, man. I'll pick you up some dinner.
If it's only an hour, then I'll hang out half the night. I'll just stay at your house.
You are welcome to stay at my house. No problem.
That'll be awesome.
Yep. So, Joe, are you guys going to be at the Rockin' Pod also this year?
Yes.
Good.
As a matter of fact, Chris Sinzak just dropped the message over your faces.
Really? That's good.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Table. So I got to find out. Are you guys going to be there?
Yes. Yes, we will be
absolutely
there.
Good. Friday night through Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to stay in. It's a pretty cool hotel. I've actually stayed in a hotel a couple of times, and it's really nice. And we're going to come down Friday and stay till and leave Sunday morning. So.
So let me tell you what I'm doing while we're there, because one of the reasons why I love your show is because I feel like I could just sit in and BS with you guys.
Yep, that's what it's about.
But you know, we've been doing the documentary now for a while, and so basically, I've decided to end the documentary at the Rockin' Pod.
That's where you started it, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That sounds like a good circle.
So what I've decided to do is film a two-hour feature now. So basically, what I'm going to do is have all my friends that are in podcasts, if you guys wouldn't mind, sit down. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, probably take about 30 minutes to talk, and then I'm going to splice it all together. So, you know, Podcast Rock City and FAQ, and then you guys, and then Classic Rock Drops, and just bounce around between all of us experts, you know, with a bunch of those other little interviews like you guys did at the last Rockin' Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And
cool.
I think a little two-hour thing. I've gotten a pretty good review. I don't know if you guys know this, but at the show in Atlanta, there was a film crew walking around interviewing fans. So I'm not sure. But they had nice equipment. But I'm not sure what that's all about, you know?
Right.
But I found it very interesting because they did have, like, waivers and everything for these people to sign. So
they stole your idea.
Nah, I probably stole theirs, but.
All right. And for people who listen to our show and don't know what the hell we're talking about, we're just talking about something.
Yeah.
Joe, why don't you tell them real quick what your project you've been working on?
I wanted to do when they announced that Kiss was going to go bye-bye, I wanted to do a documentary celebrating the Kiss fan. So I got some cameras together with my girlfriend Karen. We put the idea together, and we've been traveling the country, visiting and meeting Kiss fans, and then they tell us their stories. And some of them just are answering, you know, questions, your favorite member, your first record, what's your favorite memory, that kind of thing. And we put them together, and it's called Makeup of an Army, and it's on YouTube on it's PRC Productions. And here we go. There's like five episodes so far, and in Nashville, we filmed in New Jersey, we filmed in New York, we filmed on the Kiss Cruise, we just filmed in Birmingham, and then obviously I'm going to come to Indy and film all you guys, and then Bill Starkey's going to do an episode.
Cool.
So, of course he has to do one.
Oh yeah, that's a given.
Exactly.
Yeah, if I don't have him, then I don't have anything.
Awesome.
Got to have the beginning.
Well, that's going to be awesome. Be looking forward to that. So, you want to delve into this? We actually, one of our friends and a former guest we've had on, Mr. Mitch LaFon, had a little interview this week. Somebody we know stuck their little head back up out of the dark and actually started out, was it last week or the week before, announcing another gig that he's going to have in Nashville at the SIR Studios, what, Speedball Jam, I think is what he's calling it.
Yeah, I think the last record he did, or one of the... Yeah.
That went down the wrong pipe.
He's dying. Joe's dying. We got it on film.
And we've got it on film.
Let me stand up. Hold on.
All right. Hopefully he's still paying.
He's crap. It's because I'm too relaxed.
That's it.
Maybe you got one of them grapes stuck on your throat or something.
You got a grape stuck in your throat.
God bless.
You all right?
On camera, too.
Yeah. If you just had water instead of vodka in that bottle, you'd be all right.
How'd you know what I was drinking?
Well, that's what we all drink, too.
You can tell. You know. I just have a red big solo cup.
God bless. It's like one little spot's all dry. All right, Vinny Vincent.
All right.
Sucks.
So anyway, this.
The Speedball Jam thing was one of the last couple albums that he actually did, and he did a little stint, and so that's what he's trying to bring back out, the Speedball Jam thing. And so he's
basically just a jam where he's just noodling all over for whatever. But anyway, he's going for another cash grab, and it's going to be 360 people at $300 a person. And then if you want to have a guitar part or a guitar signed, it's an extra $500 on top of the $300. But you get a signature. And like I say, it's not going to happen. It won't. There's no way it's going to happen. But anyway.
Have any tickets been sold? I haven't heard.
I don't know.
And there's like, I think you buy them through PayPal, and then your PayPal receipt is your receipt, is your ticket to get into the thing. I don't know. It's so fucked up. But anyway, so Mitch had him on for 2 hours here, and he posted it last week in this interview with Vinny Vincent. I sit down and listen to the whole thing, and I'm telling you what, Vinny Vincent is the most delusional person on this fucking planet. He's either the biggest liar in the world, or he's so fucking mental that he believes all the bullshit that he says. You know what I'm saying? It's just all those stories that way, you know, how Gene talked about how he's the most, you know, self-destructive person in the world. Gene was, I have no doubt in my mind that everything Gene said about him. But anyway, so go from there, guys.
Okay. So I did get the cliff notes basically. And basically it's, remember how soft spoken and how thrilled he was to be here a year ago. It's the opposite now.
Yeah.
It's basically screw anybody that says I'm not going to do this, and screw anybody that says I'm not going to do it. I'm just trying to be polite.
But, yeah.
He can say whatever you want to say.
Was, fuck the haters. Fuck this shit. Fuck this stuff. And he was all, I mean, just basically, being obnoxiously. And like you said, it's almost like a bipolar person. It's just where he was. The soft-spokenness is gone, and of course, none of this shit's his fault. Never has been his fault. Everybody's been treating him like an ass. You know, Gene treated him so bad at his vault experience. Now, I was there. I saw the whole fucking thing. I mean, and I was 20 feet away.
I got a question for you before you go too much. Come out of the car into the venue and sit in a seat in the front, or did he go back and he was announced and he came out on the stage?
As I'm trying to remember how that happened,
and I asked that because Vinny acted in the video like he in that interview like he was treated poorly, but I couldn't figure out where, because I've seen the video of him being there and he wasn't really treated poorly.
Gene was on stage already. Gene, he was late showing up, okay?
So Vinny Vincent late? No.
Vinny Vincent?
He got there late. Gene was already on stage doing his shtick. He was actually already halfway through his storytelling thing that, you know, he does with that. And I think at the point he was showing the vault, Vinny came in with his so-called manager, handler, lawyer, whatever the fuck you want to call them. They came in a little bit into that. That's when he came up on stage. And then, of course, you know, he gave him a guitar. And, you know, he acted like he never touched a guitar in his fucking life. And then, of course, it wasn't tuned right. So Gene handed him his. You know, it was just a big fucking mess. Then they talked. But it was like he was all giddy and all this bullshit. But the whole point was, you know, he was talking about how he went to this thing and how he pulled over. He didn't know if I was outside with my vault, putting it in the car and moving it around when Vinny left that day. Vinny went and sat in his lawyer drove him to that fucking thing. He sat in the passenger side of that car. He did not even drive. He was driven to that fucking thing. So I don't know where he gets all this bullshit. But like I said, he got up on stage with Gene. Gene had already been up there for an hour and a half, and Gene had already talked about before Vinny got there how, okay, you know, we're showing you the vault here. We used to show everybody when we went back there, but we've just learned over time it takes too much time. And everybody sees it, you know, how many people are in this room. You know you're going to get just a few minutes, but, you know, we're going to make it the best we can. So then when Vinny gets there, they talk for a little bit. They talk some about writing some songs, and it was really cool. And then finally, Gene's like, "Well, you know what, Vinny, I've got to go get this started. Do what you need to do here and talk." And then Vinny's like, "Oh, well, I really thought Gene we were gonna play for a little bit." So Gene stayed for a little bit longer and kept fucking around, but they never did play anything. You know, they just kept fucking noodling and doing it because Vinny wouldn't play anything. So finally, Gene's like going, "Well, you know, I got to get up." I said, "I really got to get started on this, Vinny." I said, "You know, thank you so much for coming, blah."
Three, two, one. What's
up, everybody? Joe here. So there I was.
<I'm> sorry. we were talking about the Vinny.
About Vinny and being on stage, yeah. And Gene leaving him up there, and then you putting your stuff in the car, and he had a ride home because he didn't drive himself.
But the whole point was, is whenever when Gene left the stage then for the final time and said, "Vinny, here, talk to the people, do whatever you want, play music, you know, hey, you know, this is your audience." He stayed up there for about another minute and a half, didn't say one peep, got up, walked with him and his manager to the back of the room, got his little card table out, and then, you know, because Gene let him come to his thing and sell autographs. I mean, that's not being mean to him. He allowed him to make money, you know, here, you know, sign autographs. And Gene said, "Vinny will be signing things at the back of the room. You know, once I'm gone, go back there, you know, get whatever you want signed."
So what you're saying is that what he's told Mitch on that show is not exactly what happened.
It's all fucking bullshit. And the thing is, you know, there wasn't a gajillion people there. There was only, maybe 1,000 people there at the time, you know. But I was there and seen it. And, I mean, Gene was as cordial as you could get. And Vinny was like he was, remember, in Atlanta. You know, he was all happy to be there. And like you said, Joe, like you said, you know, at first he was all real nice and, you know, really passe about stuff. And like I said, in this interview, he's like a bulldog, you know.
Run over now, though. People are running him over now. I ran him over on my show because I'm tired, man. Like, I was so happy to see him in Atlanta. Right. I was so happy to see that he had come out to hang out with his friends and see his fans, and nobody treated him bad. All the fans were loving on him. I remember when I got my picture taken with him, I said, because I don't know what Vinny Vincent, I don't know him. I don't know if he's got a problem with, you know, being out in public. I don't know anything. But I was very nice to him. And when I had my picture taken with him, I said, "Look," I said, "I don't really know you, but I'm proud of you right now. This took a lot." And it really, for me, when I was saying I was proud of him, it had less to do with him coming out of the shadows and being Vinny Vincent, here I am, and more being who he is now. Does that make sense?
Right, yep.
Took a lot of guts. All the jokes aside, it took a lot of guts for him to show up, dressed the way he was dressed, acting the way he was acting. And I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with that. And I was very proud of him for doing that. And then, and now, it's like if the whole thing was the whole thing. I don't know. I wish people that work with him would speak. You know, they do every once in a while. But like this Derek Christopher guy,
right?
You know, doesn't say anything, and it's just disappointing,
right?
Because it was almost like all is well with the Kiss world. Kumbaya.
Nope. Well, you know, the weird thing. Well, go ahead, Bill.
Well, he talked in that video in the interview about driving to the event. Well, at first he said, you know, Gene emailed him, and he emailed him back on an email that he didn't normally check, and there was this time lapse difference thing. And then he talks about, you know, he said he would do it. Then he's like, I don't know why I would, you know, do that shit with him because of how he treated me, and why would somebody want to go do that? And I'm like, and the whole time he's saying this, he's like, well, I shouldn't have done, you know, I don't know why I really even thought about doing it. And then, you know, I stopped three or four times on the way there and tried to talk myself into it was the right thing to do, whatever. Dude, if somebody – do the four of you I see myself up in the corner. And a little wound up. Do the three of you have people that you know that – if they were on fire, you would not piss on them because they have done something to you that just right. is beyond restitution.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
If you're Vinny Vincent and you're sitting in a car and you get a phone call from a guy that has sued you and publicly stated, I will pay, instead of paying you $2 million to stop this lawsuit, I will pay my lawyers $2 million to make this thing drag out to where you don't have anything. That's not a guy that you want to be friends with.
Right.
And if the
right.
guy calls you and invites you somewhere, you go, dude, suck it. I'm not coming. But right. you didn't do that, dumbass.
No,
because
he
you
needed
didn't
money.
Do it for a reason. You yeah. did it because you were trying to use him as a vehicle.
Right.
And don't sit there and act like you're a victim when you're not the victim. You were just being a punk-ass bitch. That's all there was to it. Don't act like that.
But right, you know what, yeah. too, though, you know, at Atlanta, you know, when Joe said, too, you know, he come out and everybody was like going kind of a shock and awe, you know, at first. And it's like, holy shit. But you know what? For a long time, and it really wasn't, I don't think it was really until he canceled that first gig, you know, and fucked a bunch of people on their plane tickets and shit like that, that people started getting kind of nasty about him. And when he backed out of the Rockin' Pod and all that, when he started doing the old Vinny shit. But, you know, there for a long time, there wasn't a single podcast or anybody who said anything against him and what his look or whatever. Everybody was being very, very polite, was being very, you know, they didn't really, nobody
there
really
were people posting
it.
Stuff that was
well,
pretty off color.
Trolls were, but
yeah.
there again, people like us, people who had podcasts and had a voice and could talk about stuff like that, everybody gave Vinny, you know,
Benefit of the doubt.
And yeah, then
agreed.
Just,
I agree.
And then he just absolutely took that and just shit on it. I mean, just took a dump.
So, well, it became, you know, Chris Sinzak was at the Vinny vault as well, right?
Yeah, I was standing right next to Chris. We stood there all day and talked. Yeah.
You know, and then I talked to Chris. And, you know, that whole thing wound up falling apart.
Right.
And in which case, you know, Chris was like, he said, he came to me and said, I want to do your, you know, your expo. He wanted a certain amount of money. I don't know what he wanted. But once that all went to hell the way it did, I just remember thinking, all right, now it's really on. Now we're really getting the really real Vinny. And then I come to find out that, you know, we had Bobby Rock on our show. And then so we interviewed Bobby Rock. He had his new book out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hey, just want to let you know, Vinny and Vincent will not be doing your show because you had Bobby Rock on.
Wow.
And it's like, okay, well, I didn't really want to talk to that lady anyway, but we're cool. I heard everything I needed to hear. I'm still waiting on my two, you know, box sets, and
right.
it's like you're gonna be nasty now because we interviewed some guy who on my show I asked Bobby Rock. Let me ask you a question. Is this book going to be just a bash Vinny book? And they went on to say all kinds of nice things about Vinny. And that was my thing. I wanted to make sure that we weren't going to just get that bash Vinny book, you know? And so it wasn't even like Bobby Rock said anything awful about him on my show. But then I get word that Vinny's not doing anybody's show that's had Bobby Rock on now. And why? You're cutting your own throat. Because now I don't like you.
Well, all of us have had Bobby Rock on our show, so yeah, we kind of fucked himself.
It's not been a big deal. So, there were multiple things in that interview. I mean, the other thing that I would just set me off was, you know, he's telling people. He said in that interview a couple things. One thing he said was he's at all these tapes.
Bullshit.
He's at all these tapes of every show, every Creatures of the Night show they did, every Lick It Up show that they did, and he taped them from the side of the stage, and they're high quality with a cassette.
Well, you got the word high. That's about the only thing that's correct. Somebody's fucking high.
I'm like, I'm sitting there going, unless he's got a direct feed from something on the side of the stage, he didn't get shit because you can't. That's horrible. It's going to sound like a mess because they're not.
Early 1980s technology. No, yes. You're not going to get a good recording.
You know, no way, man. The whole time he's talking about, I'm walking. Actually, because we were doing this show, so I'm prepping and I'm listening to the thing, and because I listened to the first 15 minutes about vomited, so I turned it off because I couldn't take it anymore. Because the first 15 minutes was him pontificating about this bullshit stuff that I believe wasn't truthful, so I just couldn't do it. But then when we were going to do this, I thought I'll listen to the rest of it. And I mean, he is just so full of shit. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Unless. And I don't believe within one inch of my body that he is absolutely telling 100% of the truth. There's no way. It's not possible.
Way. No.
What you're saying is you can smell a lie like a fart in a car. If you were in a car and you smelled a fart.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you.
I can tell Joe's from the South.
True.
I mean, like I said, just the stuff from the vault. You know, I was there. I saw the whole fucking thing. You know, I didn't see that. Sorry. You know, But
why would you go? Why would you even go? Why would you even say yes? Why would you get in
Gene
the car?
Gene paid him, gave him a vault, gave him the opportunity to make some money, and he fucking jumped on it. And that's in his neighborhood. I mean, he didn't have to drive.
And now he's the victim. Lives.
Yeah, but he's a victim.
Because now he's a victim.
You know, and I can't remember every last thing that he said in Atlanta, but wasn't it like, I found this old email, and it was from Gene, and it was like, but Gene, you're my brother. You're my brother, Gene.
Yeah.
Or we're family, or some shit like that. And I apologize. Yeah. I don't mean to put words into his mouth. Just because I don't like him doesn't mean I want to lie about him. That's not true.
Well, Atlanta was scripted. It was so scripted it wasn't even funny, because I remember that second day. Well, we saw him the second day. You know, there was that earlier. People got to see him that day before.
Yeah, I was at the VIP thing.
Okay.
That was when he did the whole. I'm not joking. This is the best thing in the whole world. There's like 100 people in there, and there's some. And he, the guy asked him, "What about the box set?" And he goes, "I'm working on the box set, and not only are you gonna get one,
you're gonna get two.
And the whole crowd went. Almost like, why? Just give me one, man. Just one. That would be great.
Because the funny thing was, when we were there the second night, then whenever he did it for everybody, everybody's, you know, just sitting there, you know, waiting to hear Vinny talk, and we were all listening to him. And I walk outside and I see Julian, and I know he's a big Vinny fan. Julian was out in the hallway fucking around doing some shit. And I go up to Julian and I said, Julian, I said, why aren't you in here listening to this? Because I was going to take a piss. He goes, why? He's saying the same shit he said last night. Said it's exactly verbatim, word for word. You know, he's just like. It was absolutely scripted. Because matter of fact, he even said it, I think one time whenever he was talking to that Christopher guy, you know, was this what I was supposed to say? Or
is this how I said it yesterday? Yeah.
Said it right from yesterday. Like,
and then, look, here's the thing, though. We had a great time with that. I'm not going to lie. As shitty as it was run, we had a great time. However, once months go by, and it took him exactly 1 year to bury himself right back. Yep. It's like, how? If you can't play, Vinny, just say I can't play.
Right.
You want to know something? I'm not going to hold it against you.
No.
That's fine. You've been mowing lawns or something or whatever you've been doing over the past 20 years to keep yourself
jacking around
above water, you know, or whatever you've been doing. But if you say, I haven't picked up a guitar in 20 years, I'm not going to go, how terrible of you. I'm going to go, oh, okay.
But he's been practicing 8 hours a day every day.
He said in the interview. Go ahead, Joe.
There was a guy here in Atlanta at this thing called Days of the Dead, right?
Oh, yeah.
I went to go and meet Chris Jericho at it, and I was super excited. And I walked by, and this guy, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, my phone just flipped out. This guy, he saw my shirt, and he was like, oh, you're a Kiss fan? He goes, let me tell you what happened. And he told me that he sat in a hotel room at some horror convention up north, in the room with Vinnie Vincent, and watched him play for 8 hours. And he goes, the stuff he was playing was like shredding. And I didn't want to look at the guy and go, you are a liar. I didn't do that because he believed he was telling me the truth, so maybe he was telling me the truth. However, we went and saw him play in Miami, and he couldn't play. He couldn't play. I'm a guitar teacher. That's what I do. If I walk on a stage with any band and they tell me the key to the song that I'm playing in, I can go ahead and shred. I can go ahead and solo. That's all he had to do. He would have shut everybody up with 35 seconds.
Right. Some kind of
shredding.
Yep.
And he didn't do any of it. Why? Two reasons. And one of them has got to be true. A, he can't, or B, he didn't want to.
Right.
It's like, I'm sorry, but I get on stage, I want to show my ass. So,
you know what? And that's
not
a lead
guitar player I've ever seen that when they get the chance, they want to show their ass.
Anybody who's a shredder like him and a showboat like Vinny has always been, the first thing he do when you grab a guitar and you get up on stage, the first thing you do, Joe, am I right, correct? You turn your amp on, you turn your volume up, and you play your coolest lick you can play just real fast. Just kind of let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't even he didn't play a note, dude.
He did it. He played some chords.
Yeah.
Looked at the camera where people were taping, and he did this Vinny thing, and you could see Vinny, man, right there with that fake Vinny Vincent makeup on and that old lady face. And it was amazing. But there was Vinny. There was Vinny, right? And then, like, at the end of the song, I saw him grab his, like he was going to do something, and then he didn't. But when we interviewed Todd Howarth, he told me Vinny walked in, his guitars weren't in cases, and he didn't have guitar straps. What?
Well, he practiced so much at home, he forgot it. You know, he just.
Well, he said in that interview with Mitch LaFon that the guitar and the love for the guitar is what has got him through all this. And he plays all the time for therapy. And I'm like, what is he playing? I don't play guitar, but if I'm going to get in front of people and say, I'm going to shred, I got to figure out how to play the guitar.
Oh my God.
I mean, and literally if one person pays one dime to go to that shit show that he's putting on, you deserve everything you get, and you're not going to get jack squat. That thing is supposed to last an hour. He said on that Mitch LaFon interview, it's 60 people are going to pay $300 to see him for an hour.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay $300 to see. I didn't pay $300 to see Kiss for an hour and 40 minutes.
Right. Yeah. And I'll tell you something else. Let me guess. No cameras allowed. No.
Oh no.
Nothing allowed. So when he walks up there and just goes. If all he's gonna do is just play, blah, 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 no script, you know, just play for an hour, It's like, God bless.
I can't. Well, I can't stand listening to somebody do that. Basically, he's going to noodle. If he's going to try to do anything, he's going to noodle for an hour. I don't want to listen to somebody pay $300.
He's going to tell the story of. He says he's going to tell the story of the Speedball Jam and how this whole thing came about. And
it's
he's
a gonna fucking play noodle some fest.
It's a mess. Oh my God. You know, it's almost like, you know, when we talked about this, the thing to Atlanta was actually to hang out for me. It was more about hanging out with you guys,
right.
Hanging out with, you know, the podcast guys that we right. have grown to be friends with. And that to me was a much bigger deal because,
yeah,
whatever. I mean, but that was more fun for me than the whole Vinny thing because I'm like, I don't really give a shit. I mean, I was at the last show in Evansville, Indiana. I was standing right in front of Paul's mic when right. Vinny was shredding and Paul was standing over there going, you know, cut that shit off and is looking at the side of the stage doing this, standing there. I mean, I was standing right in front of it. Awesome. I mean, I can tell you what happened.
I saw it too.
That guy is not the guy that showed up in Atlanta that says I can shred. Not the same dude.
That's his mom.
It's his mom. I don't know if Benny's mom's got it going on or not, but I don't. Not from what I've seen so far.
Hey, Joe.
He could sell out that whole thing right now with a 20-second video promo thing on his
without website. Question.
Shred for 20. Vinny, look at me right here. Shred for 20 seconds or you ain't got shit.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
And I will go ahead and I will tell you, I was never the guitar player that you were. But if you don't show, man, if you really want to sell tickets, if you really, really, really want to sell tickets, you need to show these people 20 seconds.
Yeah.
20 seconds is all it takes. You think about 20 seconds for $300 a ticket for 60 people will sell out. Like that. I snap my fingers and half the world just turned to dust. But still, I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't going to do it. Why? Nope. There's only two explanations. A, you can't, or B, you don't want to. And it's a mistake. Yep.
This episode just got called Joe Polo Calls Out Vinny.
Damn straight. I'm not,
at whatever whatever time frame this is.
And that's fine, but you know what? Here's the truth. I'm the 50th person to do it now.
Right.
I think you're the 5,000th person.
We're actually late to the show because everybody else has flambéed him for us.
It's like, come on. Come on, Vinny. Show. Come on.
Well, my theory about this, too, is, and we had this discussion before you were coming on, Joe, is my thing about this has been I don't want to give him any time on our show to promote his shit. But this is not really promoting it. It's just trying to bury him even further. And I'm not trying to bury the guy if he's really got something to prove, but there's nothing to prove, dude. I mean,
he's proven he takes money.
I will gladly come on here in June after that event's over or whatever the date is. And I will gladly sit here. If I see video that he's playing and I will say, I am completely wrong. And I apologize.
Yep.
Okay. And I feel the same exact way. Okay. But
I got $100 bill that says that none of us will say that.
Well, nobody will say. Here's my thing though. I want to,
right.
I want to,
I do, but for not going to happen.
60 fans that love him so much, that they'll pay $300 to see him shred. Don't disappoint those people.
Yeah.
Don't disappoint them. You got 60 fans left, maybe. Don't disappoint them. It's like, go out there and do the best thing that you possibly can and kick ass. And then when it's all over, I'll be just like you guys. I'll be like, man, that was awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And on that note, I think this is probably a good place to stop our Vinny bashing.
There you go.
and let's give Joe an opportunity to promote Podcast Rock City.
There you go. Yeah, we are getting getting late, aren't we, Elmer?
Okay, yeah.
We're rambling.
Really I don't really care about that show that I do anymore.
Oh, you liar. It's a hat show.
Okay, Podcast Rock City every Monday on iTunes and Google and Spotify, I guess. I don't know. I've been doing it for 5 years, and it's fun to do, and it's just like you guys. You get together, you talk with your friends, it helps life, you know, go by smoother. I don't know. Alan's a little bit trouble, I think, but
it's therapy for all of us, actually. Beard,
yeah, it's good therapy. And, you know, we've got about 250 episodes done over 5 years, and we don't, and our shows are all over the place. We do game shows, we do you know, interviews with people that have, we've had Eric Singer on, we've had Bruce Kulick on, everything that we can do, these guys do. So just check them all out. And the best thing about their show is they don't just talk about Kiss all the freaking time.
Been a lot of it lately, though, because it's all that's been going on.
That's all that's really going on. Yeah, I understand that. I understand.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks for coming on the show. This.
I hope I did okay. I've never been on screen. This is very strange for me.
Well, because we're under the wire here, all of the bloopers and everything will be on the coffin and the dropped off.
Oh, have mercy. That's fine.
But we don't edit.
but seriously, thanks for coming on the show. And last week I promised that my friend Craig was going to do a review, and we ended up not getting to do it, but I finally got onto it. So here's our interview, or here's my interview with my friend Craig Wright about the Nashville Kiss Show. Peace out, folks. Hey, folks, this is my old high school chum, Craig Wright. How you doing, Craig?
Hey, good. How are you?
Pretty good. You and I both experienced the Nashville Kiss Show.
Yep.
Your experience was a little bit different of mine.
A little?
Yeah. Tell the audience about your backstage experience at the show.
Let's see. I did the Ultimate Package. I really didn't know what to expect. I've done two VIP packages with Kiss before, but this is the only one that was the Ultimate Package. So pretty much we got there at 5 o'clock. I think there was 8 people in that package that paid. So they ushered us straight in at 5 o'clock. We went right to the stage, up the stairs, and Keith LaRue was the concierge who walked us through the stage. And we went right to the stage, and he started taking our pictures with guitars. We started with Paul's purple glass guitar. And then it was kind of weird because two of Gene's solo bands was walking with us as well. And I can't remember the two guys' names that was with us.
Ryan, Jeremy, and
Jeremy was Philip. One. Philip. Them and their girlfriends were walking with us. And they were trying on the guitars. And it was a surreal experience at first just to step up on the stage and be in that atmosphere. It was kind of weird at first, because it looks so grand in the photographs, and when you're there, it looks so much smaller. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, if you've never been on stage before.
Kind of, yeah. To that level, you think it's this huge thing, and it really isn't. So, they did Paul's guitar first, and then we took pictures with Sammy the Serpent, and then with Gene's guitar.
I might be a little bit jealous about Sammy.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And what's interesting, as soon as we got up on stage, everybody flocked to Sam the Serpent. Well, certain people were doing the pictures with the guitar. Everybody was focused on that. And then after that, we did pictures with Eric's guitar, with drums, his drum set. Of course, they told us not to touch anything because it had already been tuned. So they didn't want us to sit down or physically touch anything. So they said pretty much just hold your hands up, and they took pictures that way, which is pretty cool. Then we held on to Tommy's guitar. Then they took us around to where they keep Paul and Tommy's guitars and showed us all those for the show and the straps. And then they took us backstage to try on the boots. So basically we had Paul's boots and Gene's boots, and they were their backup pair to try on.
I was kind of curious if those were really their boots.
They said they were their backups.
Or they were props.
They said they were their backups. So
interesting.
I could only go with what they said.
Yeah.
I thought there would be more support in, like, the ankles. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, Paul's is two pieces. So, like, from his ankle up is a piece, and then the boot is a piece. It's kind of like right at your ankle. It's kind of weird. And I thought they would have some support in the ankle for him jumping around.
Not so much, huh?
Mm-mm, none.
Huh.
It was weird to put those. That was the whole thing, was the boots. And then after the boots, they kind of ushered us into a green room to set until the show started, kind of. And then, sorry. After the boots, we went backstage and we did a meet and greet with the band. And it was pretty much us in a hallway with Gene and Tommy for the longest time. And if you've met Gene a few times, I'm sure, haven't you?
Yeah.
And he's so easygoing to talk to. We were probably with him for about 15, 20 minutes, him and Tommy. Eric came through a few times, but he was sick. And you could see it in his eyes. He didn't want to hang out. Uh-huh. He just didn't feel good. And then...
I noticed during the show that he didn't sound like he felt good.
No, he did not feel good. You could see it. He talked to us for a few minutes and took pictures, and he was very polite, but you could tell. Several people came through, the other staff, and said, "Are you okay? How are you feeling?" And he's like, "He's okay." So, it's interesting. And then we didn't see Paul until right before they started the VIPs for everybody else. And what was funny was... we were sitting there, and Gene was like, "Where's Elvis? Is Elvis ever going to come out?" And he was referring to Paul. Paul was the one who I wanted to meet the most, because I'd never met him before.
How much time did you get to spend with Paul?
Oh, like 5 minutes, if that. He just basically came through, shook our hands, took selfies, talked to him for a few minutes, and off. And that was it. Doc was right behind him, scooting him out. Where Gene came out and literally sat down on some table and was talking to the eight of us we'd known him forever.
That's the way he was with Bell and I Fort Wayne.
Hugging it. I mean, it was just whatever we wanted, he was cool with. Pictures, whatever. They didn't want us to do any autographs, though. That was the thing. That was the only thing we weren't allowed to do, is bring stuff for autographs.
Well, that's odd.
Yeah. And Tommy was very easy to talk to, too. This is the first time I've kind of been around him or talked to him before.
Well, the last time I spoke to Tommy was July the 9th, 1995.
Oh, wow. that was during the convention.
That's right. That's the first time I ran into you since we had graduated high school.
That's right, because I was at that.
Yeah.
Huh, I forgot about that. Because he was the road manager, wasn't he?
That's right, yeah.
I mean, for him to be in that role, he has to be a fan becoming the spaceman. I mean,
yeah. Well, he earned it. He earned his space boots.
he really did, and he gets shit for it.
Him and Eric both catch a lot of shit. And
Tommy gets his more than Eric does.
Yeah, though. He does. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was super cool. And I guess they were based out of Atlanta, and they how they fly around to shows. So yeah, it was pretty cool. And then we didn't have seats. So there was inside where the first row was, had the
between the barricade and the stage.
Yeah, we were between the barricade and the stage. They had these little platforms on either side, and we had to pick: do you want to be on Paul's side or Gene's side? Because we couldn't move once we were in there, because it was pretty much between the stage and the photographers there in that row.
Yeah,
and the camera people, so they didn't want us moving around. So four people picked Paul's. Four people picked Gene's. And what was interesting was, when I turned around halfway through the show, Mark Slaughter was behind me. Because he was in, I guess he came in later.
I noticed that there were several of the local musicians, if you will.
Yeah, backstage there were some guys from Lone Star, a lot of country people I didn't really know. But yeah. You could tell they were supposed to be there or something. But it was just surreal. I mean, literally, we were on top of the stage. I could put my drink right on the stage.
Gene would have kicked it off.
Well, yeah, I would have done that. I was on Paul's side.
Well, Paul would have kicked it off,
okay,
too.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Did you plan this experience ahead of time, or was it a last-minute decision?
Last minute.
What made you... Let me ask you this. Had you been pondering it, or was it just impulse?
Impulse. Totally impulse. I think that day I started watching YouTube clips, and the more I watched them, the more excited I got. and literally at 11 o'clock that day, I was emailing to upgrade my ticket. And that's how it was.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of the experience?
Oh, definitely trying on the boots. That was the coolest part for me. In the majority of the 8 people that were there, that's kind of what they all said, was the boots. To be that close to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it would have been Sammy.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
It would either be Sammy or getting hold Gene's bass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gene and Ace are my boys, and Ace isn't there, so...
Ace was always my favorite.
Yeah. Well, depending on my mood for the day, it's either Ace or Gene.
I could see that.
Yeah. And finally, have you done this with any other bands? And if so, who were they, and how was the experience different?
The only other VIP other than the 2 Kiss shows, I did Sonic Boom and the tour with Motley. I did the VIP with Kiss. But then when Motley did their last tour, I did the VIP experience with them as well. And it was totally a cattle call. So there was probably maybe 75 people. You waited in a waiting room, you stood in line, it was a picture, and out the door you went. And that's all it was.
And Tommy wasn't there, correct?
Tommy was not there. But I went to see Nikki Six. Nikki, as long as Nikki was there, I was fine.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to do it.
Well, to a point, Nikki is Motley Crue.
Pretty much, yeah. Without Nikki, there wouldn't be a Motley Crue.
Right, yeah. Well, Craig, I appreciate you coming on the show.
It was fun.
All right, man. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.